reading with verse 14. We'll read down through verse 30. Verse 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there," Galilee, "went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues," the synagogues in Galilee, "being glorified of all," or being honored of all. "He came to Nazareth," which again is in Galilee, "where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up," for this is the reason he stood up, was to read. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' And he said unto them, 'Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself,'" referring to the cross, "'whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them, the many widows, was Isaiah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." That's the grace of God. "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." What is recorded here is only recorded by Luke. It, of course, is an incident in the life of Christ. It would have occurred very early in his ministry, not long after his testing by Satan in the wilderness. Our text begins in verses 14 and 15 with Jesus going through Galilee. He's on a preaching tour, if you will. He has been favorably received by the people of Galilee. So what we read here is part of the Galilean ministry of Christ, and that is the content of Luke's gospel from verse 14 all the way through verse 50 of chapter 9, this Galilean ministry, which would have lasted about a year and a half. In verse 16, Jesus arrives in Nazareth. And again, he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, it says, as his custom was. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. It was his custom to attend public worship on the day set aside for public worship. What follows is what took place in that synagogue on that particular day. Now, we are told in verse 16 that Jesus stood up. The reason was to read. And we're told in verse 17 that he's handed the scroll of Isaiah, which was written approximately 700 years prior. And he opens the scroll, or he unrolls the scroll of Isaiah. Verse 17, he found the place where it was written. And then in verses 18 and 19 of our text, we see what he read. And what he read is Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Let's turn there. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where he stopped. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now you read Luke 4, and you read Isaiah 61, and you notice there are some differences in words. What you have to remember is that Luke, in his account, is just summarizing. He is summarizing the textual material that was used by Christ. There's no conflict here whatsoever. It's also worthy of note that Jesus, in reading the text in Isaiah, stopped mid-sentence. That's where he stopped. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. And then in verse 20 of our text, he closed the book, or he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it again to the minister, who was the one who had handed it to him originally, and he sat down. And all eyes are intently fixed upon Jesus Christ. They are waiting to hear the explanation that he would give to what he had just read. And then in verse 21, he said, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And then he proceeds to preach unto them, verses 23 through 27. And what he preaches there is the sovereign grace of God and salvation of sinners. There were many lepers, but only one was saved. There were many widows, but only one did God favor. And the effect that this had upon the people is recorded in verses 28 through 30. They were filled with wrath and thrust him out of the city. So there is Christ standing in the synagogue. He has the scroll of Isaiah. And as he begins to read, the very first words are, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." It is a declaration of himself. He is saying, by reading this scripture from Isaiah, he is saying, "I am the God authorized one to do what follows." And that's our subject this morning, the duly authorized one. The duly authorized one. We've all had the experience, be your cable company or whatever, you talk to a business and they'll say, "I'm sorry, sir," or "I'm sorry, ma'am, but I don't have the authority to do that." And it takes you a while to finally find someone who has the authority to do what you need them to do. I wish I could just talk to that person right off the bat. Save a lot of time. But Christ is the duly authorized one. So let's consider what Christ read that day. What Christ read that day in the hearing of those present was the God-breathed Word of God. He was reading of himself. And as he was doing so, he was declaring himself. So there is Jesus, God veiled in human flesh. He's handed the scroll of Isaiah. and he reads. And as he does, he not only is the messenger, he's the message. He is the one he's reading about. So he's the messenger and he's the message. And as Jesus read that day, what he's doing is he's asserting himself. And we hear him as he reads of himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, or for this reason, he, the Lord, hath anointed me. So he says of himself, the Lord hath anointed me. He is saying, I have been selected. I have been set apart by God himself. I have been sent of God. I am duly authorized by God, through the Holy Spirit. I am personally prepared. I am qualified. I am equipped for the work that God has sent me to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach, to publicly declare and proclaim the gospel, the good news. So as we listen in, he says, God has sent me. God has authorized me to declare something great, something fabulous, something extraordinary, something marvelous. Something that ought to bring everyone here great pleasure and great delight and happiness. He says, God has sent me. God has authorized me to declare good news about freedom. The good news is for the poor. It is for the brokenhearted, the captives, and the blind, and the bruised. Christ is the duly authorized one for the poor, for the brokenhearted, for the captives, for the blind, for the bruised. The poor are those who are destitute. They are the famished, the bankrupt, the needy. The brokenhearted, those who are shattered, those who are fractured in heart. They are the devastated and the miserable. They are hurting. They are damaged. They are damaged. There are the captives. These have been abducted. They're confined in their life. They're chained. They're shackled. They're prisoners. There are the blind. Those who sit in darkness, live in darkness. And there are the bruised, the injured, the flawed, the marred. Again, we have the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, and the bruised. It is a picture of disgrace. It is a picture of darkness and gloom, desolation, degradation, turmoil, and fear. And after Jesus finished reading, verse 20, it says, and he closed the book, or he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it again to the minister, the one who had handed it to him, and he sat down. And there he sits. And all eyes are upon him. What's he going to say next? Verse 21, he says, this day is this scripture. This scripture, the one I just read, fulfilled in your ears. What a statement. The Jews in that Nazareth synagogue knew that what he had just read was prophetic of the promised Messiah. And now they hear him say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What he has just said is, I am the fulfillment of what I just read. I am the fulfillment of what I just read. He is saying, you have heard what I have read, and I'm he. I am the one. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I am the anointed. I am the sent of God on behalf of the poor, on behalf of the brokenhearted and the captives and the blind and the bruised. Christ is the duly authorized sufficiency for the poor. He has been duly authorized by God to meet the needs of the poor. Christ is the duly authorized one to heal the brokenhearted. The God authorized one to attend to the brokenhearted, to minister to the brokenhearted, to cure the brokenhearted, to fix the brokenhearted, to mend the brokenhearted, to set right the brokenhearted, to remedy and restore those who are shattered and fractured. Jesus said, I am the duly authorized one to do this. Christ is the duly authorized one to bring deliverance to the captives. He is the one God has authorized to set free, to rescue and to spare those who are bound. He is the duly authorized one to bring about the recovering of sight to the blind. That is, God has authorized him to bring back light into darkness. Christ is the duly authorized one to set at liberty them that are bruised, to bring about enjoyment to the injured and to the marred. So as Jesus reads this scripture, he is saying, I am the duly authorized one to change these tragic conditions. I am the one. And as he reads, he's saying, I am here. I am here for the bankrupt. I am here for the devastated. I am here for the bound and for the wounded. And I am the duly authorized one to carry out and to perform and to accomplish the work that these need. I am the duly authorized one. And what we read here, or as we listen as Christ reads, the truth is illustrated all through the gospel accounts. Where we see Jesus, the duly authorized one, going into dire places, places of impossibilities, places of great wretchedness, the duly authorized one, coming into the needy and desperate lives of men and women and children and doing what only he can do. We see it all through the Gospels. He is the duly authorized one to make a difference in the lives of these individuals. Again, verse 18 and verse 19. And what is recorded there in Isaiah 61, he stops in the middle of a sentence. That's usually not where people stop reading. That's not where you're supposed to stop reading. But that's where he stopped. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Why? Why did he stop there? Why did he stop there? Because what is prior to that statement is what he came to do at his first coming. What follows that statement is what will transpire at his second coming. These that he was speaking to that day did not need to know what would transpire at his second coming. They need to know why he was there now. This is the acceptable year of the Lord, referring to a designated period of time. He is saying this is the God acceptable time period in which Christ does what he proclaims here in Isaiah. This time period runs through Christ's entire earthly ministry upon earth and continues to the present time. We're still in that time period. That means there's hope. If you're poor, brokenhearted, captives, blind, bruised, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. We're still in that time period. So it's a proclamation of hope for the otherwise hopeless. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. He is referring to the time when recovery and healing and deliverance is possible. Jesus Christ is the duly authorized one to bring such to pass. And now is the time. Now is the time. Don't wait. So let's make application. First of all, to you and I that are saved, and then we'll make application to the unsaved. You and I that have been saved, we've been rescued, we've been restored in salvation. But we have this terrible tendency to go back into a life of spiritual poverty and to become broken, damaged in heart. And we have this tendency to enter back into the prisons of life and to be smitten with blindness and to be afflicted with wounds. Though you and I are saved, we've been rescued, Satan can still inflict damage to our souls. And we can be drawn into spiritually unfulfilling lives. We can become restless, unsettled, joyless, spiritually exasperated, and spiritually numb. Though saved, we can become all of these things. But praise be to God, there is a duly authorized one, a God-authorized one, to meet these needs. And His name is Jesus. He is the very one who met the desperate needs of our unsaved condition. Amongst the saved in this room today, there are many cares, there are many burdens. We all have difficulties in our lives and problems, sorrows, heartaches, temptations. Some live under a cloud. Some are in the storm. There are battles, there are obstacles. But we know one who is greater than all of those things. And he is duly authorized to meet all of those needs. I can go to Jesus today and I will never hear, "I'm sorry, sir, but I'm not authorized to do that." He is the duly authorized one. In His hands and in His words, there is still the power to cast out the destructive powers in our lives. He is still the God-authorized refuge and shelter for you and I. He's still the all-sufficient, able one, the compassionate, the sympathetic, the empathetic one. And He's duly authorized. He's duly authorized right now to bring light and to bring healing and to bring comfort, to bring strength. He's duly authorized right now to bring courage and assurance, relief, joy. He's duly authorized to bring encouragement and peace and victory that we need. Jesus Christ, God Himself, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, is the duly authorized one to be the one and only mediator between God and sinful man. There's only one duly authorized mediator, and it's Jesus. He is the duly authorized way to God. The duly authorized Lamb of God. The duly authorized Redeemer, Savior, Shepherd, Friend, our all. For you and I that are saved, we can become damaged goods. We can become very poor spiritually. We can become blind. We can become imprisoned. All of these things. Wounded. But there is one who is duly authorized to change all these conditions. You need to go to Him. Each and every one of us that are saved need to flee to this duly authorized one. Now let's speak to those who are unsaved. The unsaved sinner is described here by the words the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, and the bruised. All of these conditions are the result of sin. And they are a picture of the desolation, and the misery, and the wretchedness, and the helplessness, and the hopelessness of sinners without Christ. The unsaved sinner is poor. I don't care how much money you have, the unsaved sinner is poor. Sin has robbed them of all that is acceptable to God. And now they are utterly destitute, absolutely nothing to offer to God in their behalf. The unsaved sinner is brokenhearted. That is, they are damaged and they are ruined in heart due to sin. The unsaved sinner is a captive. They're incarcerated. They are detained and restrained by sin and by Satan. The unsaved sinner is blind. He or she lives in darkness. They're so blind they don't even know they're poor and brokenhearted and captive. And they're bruised. They're grievously wounded. So view the unsaved sinner. They're in shackles, in chains. They live behind iron gates, and they are firmly in the grasp and the binding power of spiritual death, sin, and Satan. If you are here and unsaved today, I am describing you. The condition, the unsaved sinner, is held in the mire and in the depths of darkness and ignorance and enmity and error and bankruptcy and guilt. And they live their lives under the power and control and the infection of sin. There is no slavery more dismal, more disabling, more degrading than the slavery of the unsaved sinner. But there is one who has been ordained by God, a duly authorized rescuer. And as such, he has access to the prison of sin. If you're here and unsaved today, you are imprisoned. But there is a duly authorized one who has access to your prison. And he alone can overtake and get past all of Satan's guards. He's the only one who can. And he can unhinge the iron gates. Someone says he has the key to the iron gate. He doesn't need the key. He can just walk right through. And he is the one who can break the holding and binding power of sin. He is the duly authorized one to bring and lift the helpless sinner from under the terrible and crushing weight of sin and death. He is the duly authorized one to lift the sinner out of the depths of unrighteousness and wickedness. He is the duly authorized one to lift the sinner, to raise the sinner out of the depths of alienation and darkness. Jesus Christ is the duly authorized one to take the condemned sinner out of the horrific hole of sin and bring them into the blessings of salvation, giving them rest and restoration. And praise be to God, it is still the acceptable year of the Lord. That is, He is able to carry out, He is able to perform, He is able to accomplish the deliverance that you need. And now is the time. Now is the time. Notice, if we go back to Isaiah 61. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's where Jesus stopped. Now notice that little curved line after Lord. You see that? You need to circle it. It's called a comma. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. And Christ stopped reading there. Now following that comma, you read the day of vengeance, referring to His second coming. But what I want you to notice, you see how small that little curved line is? Doesn't take up much space. There's only a comma between the acceptable year of the Lord now and the vengeance of God. Only a comma. That's your life. That comma is your life. So small. Doesn't take up much space. Only a comma between the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance. Only a comma. Now is the time. Now is the time for the poor, for the brokenhearted, for the captives, for the blind, for the bruised. Now is the time to find what they so desperately need. Know this. There is no need as great as the need of transgressors and violators of the law of God. There's nothing more serious. You have violated the law of God. Now is the time for deliverance. Following that, the day of vengeance. You have sinned against a holy and righteous God. But now is the time for deliverance. Now, next, the day of vengeance. The unsaved sinner is unacceptable to God. You have nothing to make yourself acceptable to God. Nothing. You're bankrupt of any merit of God's favor. But now is the day of deliverance. Now. Following that comma is the day of vengeance. There is one who is God authorized to meet the needs of the unsaved sinner. And there are no needs as great as the needs of an unsaved sinner. There's no need more urgent. Now. Now is coming to an end. There's a comma. Your need is urgent. Your need is desperate. But praise God, there is one right now who is duly authorized to come into your prison and set you free, to open your blind eyes, to heal your broken heart, to give you a new heart. He is the only one authorized. And that's for now. There is a time right now where your need can be met. So, unsaved sinner, trapped and imprisoned in the depths, in the darkness, in the gloom and the misery, and the internal ruin of sin, I want you to know there is no arm of flesh able or long enough to bring you from the pit that you're in. No man, no church, no religious rite, no religious ceremony can bring you from the pit that you were in. No church has been authorized to bring you from that pit. No church is able. And no matter how intelligent you might be, there are no mental faculties of your own or anyone else's to figure a way out of the pit that you're in. You cannot escape by your own efforts. But right now, at this very moment, there is one who has been authorized by God to meet your need. And His name is Jesus. Again, Jesus stopped reading at the comma. And there's only a comma between your now and when your now is no longer. Only a comma. Well, I'm only such and such an age. I've got plenty of time. You don't know that. I'm healthy. Healthy people die all the time. Only a comma between your now and when your now is no longer. But now, there is one, Jesus, who can meet your every need. He is the duly authorized one. I am glad that I know this one. I am glad that the one who was authorized by God came into my prison house, broke down the iron gates, overcame Satan and all the other guards, broke my chains, and raised me up from the prison that I was in. I'm glad I know this one. And even today, if I find myself going back, I know where to go. If I find myself in a miserable condition, I know where to go. Because He's still the duly authorized one. And if you're here and lost today, He is the only one who can save your soul. He's the only one. There is no other hope. But right now there is hope. There is hope because of this one. But there's coming a day, and there's only a comma, when all hope is gone. Now. Now. Paul said, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day in which salvation can be had. Call out to Him. Trust Him. Trust Him with your soul. You have nothing in your life more valuable than your soul. Who are you trusting? With your soul. Jesus Christ is the only one. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us in song.
156.